Kent Online News.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.
Lucy Hickmott.
It's Tuesday, the 3rd of December. Coming up, thousands of Kent children living in temporary accommodation.
We can do so much better. We hear about damp, cold, rat infestations. It's just not good enough.
Turner Prize winner due to be announced.
Lots of people are saying, well, I don't know, I like that person, but I also like that person. So I think there's lots of interest in this year's shortlist.
And little girl sings on X Factor charity single.
She was amazed when we first told her the news. She was shocked, but she was so excited.
Kent Online News.
Figures have revealed more than 2,200 children in Kent will be spending Christmas in temporary accommodation. Data from shelters shows Medway has the highest number of youngsters without a permanent roof over their heads, followed by Swale and Dartford. They're warning many children are living in places like B&Bs and hostels, with some families apparently squashed into one room. Robin White from the homeless charity has been speaking to Ish.
It's obviously absolutely shocking, and you know, there are now, what, we've got 135,000 homeless children in Britain. We've got 11,680 children just in the southeast of England that are living without a home. And to make that sound even worse, that's 20 children becoming homeless every single day in the southeast. And to my mind, this is just a bit of a stark reminder that we're right in the middle of a national housing emergency. And the impact of that is also something that we see every day through our frontline services at shelter. So we see things like children being uprooted from friends and family, being forced to live in completely unsuitable, cramped conditions like bed and breakfasts, and, you know, being too distressed or distracted to concentrate properly at school. And again, like everyone else, I think we believe that every child should have the right to a safe home. And our advisors are there to try and make sure this is a reality, offering support, offering advice. But to enable us to do that, what we're doing at the minute is we're launching our urgent Christmas appeal, and we're asking if people can, that they text the word shelter to 70030. That donates £3, and that helps ensure that when that help and advice is needed by people, shelter can be there to offer it 365 days a year. We've got more than 11,500 children that are homeless across the southeast, and you know, comparing, you know, will tell us some things, but wherever we are in the country at the minute, it's very obvious that we've got an absolutely appalling situation. This isn't a case that it's restricted to one area or another. Every single part of the country is facing the realities of a national housing emergency at this stage, you know, driven by a failure long term to invest in social housing, by welfare freezes and cuts and things like that. And it manifests itself, unfortunately, in children without a home.
And, you know, as a particular stat as well, in, you know, Medway in Kent being particularly of the highest rate of children living in temporary accommodation, 1 in 99 children. I mean, that sounds frighteningly high, doesn't it?
Yes. As I must say, most of the stats we have on this all sound frighteningly high at this stage. And you're talking about, you know, temporary accommodation there. So these are children that they're homeless. They might have a roof over their head, but temporary accommodation could be them living in a single room with the rest of their family. Some of the conditions in places like this are totally unsuitable. I don't think any of us would wish for children to be trying to grow up in these conditions. We can do so much better. We hear about damp, cold, rat infestations. It's just not good enough. We are campaigning to ensure that it doesn't happen, but in the meantime, you know, what we're doing as well is, again, we've got this Christmas appeal asking people to visit our website or text shelter to 70030 so that we can give support and advice and try and make sure children, you know, we get them out of this situation where we can. We have seen an increase in the last year across the entire country, and year on year, in recent years, we've seen a stark rise in homelessness and in temporary accommodation. So temporary accommodation is, so in the southeast alone, we've got 95% increase in the last 5 years in children living in temporary accommodation, which we think is frightening and is something we absolutely need to do something about.
And you say that year on year increase. Why is that not changing? Why are we seeing a constant increase?
So what we've had in recent years, we've had this sort of perfect storm. We've had a long-term failure by many governments to not invest in the social housing we need, and that very much is the heart of the problem. And then on top of that, we've got welfare cuts, which we've seen over the years, and we've seen a rise in people relying on the private rented sector. The private rented sector, as I'm sure many of your listeners will be very aware, can be very expensive and very unstable. And it doesn't take a lot for people relying on the private rented sector to fall into homelessness. And that's when we then end up with people living in temporary accommodation. So, you know, to turn this around, there are things we need to do. And at the heart of those is we need to start investing again in social rent housing. That really is the key thing that we need to see happen in the next few years.
You mentioned the failure of government. We are in the midst, of course, of a general election. Are you calling on political parties to take action here?
Yeah, absolutely. What we want to see is every political party committing to ending this emergency and to building the social homes we need. You know, whoever forms the next government, what we need to see building social housing being right at the top of the agenda.
Kent Online reports.
A former Kent schoolboy who killed three pensioners within hours of each other has been found not guilty of murder by reason of insanity. Alexander Lewis Ranwell, who suffers from paranoid schizophrenia and went to Sutton Valence in Maidstone, attacked the victims in Exeter in February. The jury had to decide whether the 28-year-old did not know it was against the law to kill the three men. A firearm's been seized and five men have been arrested after specialist officers were sent to Medway. The National Crime Agency's Armed Operations Unit were called to Rochester last night. At kentonline.co.uk, you can see the moment a drink driver drove off a cliff in Ramsgate during a police chase. The 35-year-old's car plummeted onto the roof of the Beach Retreat apartments below before ending up in Marine Road in February. He admitted dangerous driving and causing criminal damage and will be sentenced in January. Four members of a right-wing group have been locked up for a total of more than 4 years after a huge fight broke out in Sevenoaks. The three men and woman who were aged between 20 and 43 had been at a conference at the Stag Theatre in April when they clashed with left-wing protesters.
Kent Online News.
The family of an Ashford dad found dead in Spain have launched an online fundraising appeal to try and bring his body home. 34-year-old Daniel Fulagar was discovered at his apartment in Valencia last week. It's not known yet how he died, but loved ones are hoping to raise £6,000 to cover the cost of getting him back to the UK. It's understood vital work to repair the Medway Tunnel may not go ahead due to a lack of funding. Maintenance will cost more than £672,000 up until the end of the financial year. But according to the council, there's no budget or funding for the work to take place. Bosses say they're negotiating more money from the Department for Transport. At Kent Online, you can see CCTV footage of two men smashing their way into a garage in Northleat and stealing motorcycles. They forced open the door in Ladyfields yesterday afternoon before running off with two bikes worth thousands of pounds. Police are investigating. A Kent charity that supports separated families is going to have any donations made over the next week doubled. Ashford-based Dads Unlimited offer legal help, mentoring and a helpline for single parents, some of whom haven't seen their children in months. This year they're part of the Big Gives Christmas Challenge, which is the UK's biggest match funding campaign. Francis Hunt from the organisation says any extra money would be hugely appreciated.
It's really going to help for us to expand our frontline services. Because a lot of what we do is helping vulnerable adults that have been through relationship breakdowns. We've also helped 119 victims of domestic, physical and emotional abuse. And we're finding, as our name is getting to be more well known, we're becoming more and more in demand. And we're literally at the point now that we have a waiting list, which, you know, is not ideal because we want to be able to help people as and when they need our help. So what we need to do is increase our funds so that we can actually take on more mentors and expand our helpline service. Our helpline service currently provides, it's about 1,000 minutes a month at the moment to the public, but we found that within the last 3 months it's actually doubled. So the fact that our helpline is doubled in 3 months is just showing the increased demand, again we need to get more money in, unfortunately, to be able to further that more. We're not just there, we're not pro-dad, we're there to actually get what is best for the children. And we very much believe that co-parenting and positive co-parenting is what's best all round. And I think that is getting out, it's getting more known. And I think ultimately that's why we're getting more people coming our way. We've even had people fundraising individually and literally telling people that we've saved their lives. Because before they came to us, they had little hope of seeing their children. We had one guy called Dan who ran, he did 249 kilometres run over the space of a month. And that represented each day that he hadn't seen his son for. So we've had some amazing people fundraising for us, which we're truly thankful for. But obviously, this is a great opportunity that if anybody was thinking of donating, particularly at this time of the year, being in the Christmas season of goodwill, then certainly that will all be much funded, and that's going to make a massive difference to our organisation.
And speaking of Christmas, I imagine it's a really difficult time for people you help, perhaps not being able to see their children on a sort of special day like Christmas must be really hard.
It is incredibly hard. I mean, I attended the last support group meeting that we had, and really, I mean, some of the stories there, they're so heartfelt. You come away and you just think, my goodness, you know, it's so wrong. So many of these situations where these men haven't seen their children for months, at times years, and it's so unnecessary. And it's the children that are suffering as well as these adults. And it is really gut-wrenching. I do think, though, because we've actually, as of April this year, we started putting on some community events now. And we're doing that very much for separated parents and their children, because again, it helps to get them out of isolation and loneliness. And for those who don't have regular access to their children, we're actually now starting to do single parents only events again, so they've got a chance to come out and get back into society again. We're aiming to raise £6,000, which would mean that we'll be able to have mentors, we'll be able to employ mentors for a longer time frame, and it will also give us more money to actually pay for a bigger call package to handle the incoming calls coming in. So it's small steps, but that would certainly make a difference to get us to be able to basically help people sooner rather than later. And that's really what we need right now. Generally, our charity resonates with a lot of people because there's so many marriage breakups out there, unfortunately. Or if you haven't been through one, you know somebody that has. And I think, you know, it's unfortunately, it is a sad thing in society nowadays where it does seem to happen a lot. And I think if somebody was wanting to donate, maybe they weren't in a position to, it could even be worth maybe speaking to their employer. You know, a lot of businesses will do charitable giving, or even circulating it with their own friends and family. So, it, you know, even if anybody was to put in £5, whatever it is, you know, that would then be doubled. So if everybody was to do that, then obviously it's going to make a massive difference.
You can find out how to donate to Dads Unlimited on their website.
Kent Online reports.
We're being warned not to go near a load of asbestos which has been dumped near homes in Ashford. Carry bags full of the dangerous material have been found outside a block of garages on Bybrook Road in Kennington. The area has been taped off and the council say it'll be cleared as soon as possible. Police have released CCTV images of a man they want to speak to after beauty products were stolen from a shop in Tenterden. Paydon's chemist on the High Street was targeted last month. You can see the pictures at kentonline.co.uk. Now, the winner of the world-famous Turner Prize will be announced at a ceremony in Margate later. Work from the four shortlisted artists has been on display at the Turner Contemporary since September. Ish has been chatting to gallery director Victoria Pomery, who told him what the response has been like.
We've had amazing feedback. We've had more than 93,000 visits since the end of September. Lots of people have obviously been, lots of local people have been and seen the show. But I think what has, you know, it's provoked a lot of conversations and dialogues, the different kinds of work. So people have definitely told us which person they want to win. But I think you know, the show as a whole, so the four selected artists, are all very strong. And basically, the feedback has been to that effect. Lots of people are saying, well, I don't know, I like that person, but I also like that person. So I think there's lots of interest in this year's shortlist, and it could go in any direction.
And of course, I mean, from your perspective, I'm sure you'll say that the standard is very high this year.
The standard's incredibly high. And I think the commitment of the four artists to Margate and to Turner Contemporary, they have all been here since the 28th of September. Some of them have spoken in conversation. Some of them have led on performances. So there's been lots of activity at the gallery. But they're all four fantastic artists. And if you haven't had the chance to see their work, there's still a chance to come to Turner Contemporary before the 12th of January.
In terms of reaching that decision on who should be ultimately the winner of the Turner Prize, who's involved in that process?
So there is a jury of four people, with the chair of the jurors is Alex Farquharson, who's the director of Tate Britain. So it's those five people who will decide who is the ultimate winner.
And what do you think the judges will be looking for in terms of reaching that decision? What type of things, the type of qualities that make a Turner Prize winner?
Well, the judges will be looking at the exhibitions here. They have been nominated for exhibitions throughout the past year. So the judges will be looking at work that is really contemporary, that is both challenging and inspiring. But I think the judges will be looking at a whole range of different factors before they make their decision. And obviously the director of Tate Britain is the chair. So from a perspective of Turner Prize being a very much a Tate competition and a Tate initiative, then I'm sure the Tate has some separate criteria to add into the mix.
And again, you talk about how high a standard of a body of work we've got in front of us. How difficult do you anticipate it's going to be for the jury?
I think it will be a really difficult decision, because there's four great artists and great exhibitions. They're very different in their content. They engage with other people in different ways. So it is really difficult. Any of these big arts prizes are always difficult to judge, as evidenced by things like the Booker Prize for Literature. I think arts prizes are really difficult.
Kent Online News.
We're being urged to speak to our families about organ donation, as figures show 100 people in Kent will be on the waiting list for life-saving surgery this Christmas. NHS Blood and Transplants say it's a good time of year to have the conversation, as everyone gets together over the festive period. They want us to make sure our loved ones know what we want to happen to our organs after we die. People living in a Kent village say they feel blessed after waking up to find 500 knitted angels. They were attached to fences, trees and gateposts in High Holden near Tenterden, with a card saying they were a gift of love. And a little girl from Herne Bay who has a rare condition which causes bone fractures and sight loss has had the chance to sing on this year's X Factor charity single. Following a surprise visit from Simon Cowell to the Demelza Hospice in Sittingbourne, 8-year-old Hallie Robb was asked to record at the show's studios. Her dad Ian's been telling us more.
Hallie was born with a rare bone condition called osteopetrosis. She's visually impaired as well, but she loves singing. It's always been her dream, and it's always been something that she wants to do. The day we first met Simon, we got a message from Demelza saying there was a special guest coming. So we went along, and it turned out to be Simon. Hallie sang to him, and then from that, Simon absolutely loved hearing her sing and actually invited her to come and sing on one of his shows. At the time, we didn't really think much of it. We sort of thought, oh, maybe something will happen in the future. And then a couple of weeks later, we got a phone call to say that he'd love for her to sing on the X Factor celebrity single. She was amazed. When we first told her the news, she was shocked, but she was so excited. And the prospect of going in a recording studio as well is something she's always wanted to do. So it was amazing for her. She just couldn't really contain her excitement. She was very excited to go to school this morning and see all of her friends. And I know that the head teacher's keeping it a bit of a surprise for the last, kept it a bit of a surprise for the last week. So it's been nice for her to go back and see her friends. Yes, so we went to the recording studio last Tuesday, where we obviously recorded her lines for the song. And then we got taken up to watch the X Factor on Saturday as well. Which was a great experience, and she really enjoyed it as well. It was really emotional for us. To be honest, I think the whole of the studio was silent watching the video, and it just hit so many people. And it's just the reaction to it has been incredible. To be honest, it's all come so quickly, and everything's been a bit of a whirlwind. So who knows what's next for her. I think she's just really enjoying the moment and really enjoying just the fact that she got to sing on a song and that she's doing what she loves doing. We don't know what's next, but we'll have to wait and see, I guess.
Kent Online Sport.
Football, and Gillingham have been drawn against a Premier League side in the third round of the FA Cup. They'll welcome West Ham to Priestfield in the new year after beating Doncaster Rovers at the weekend. Elsewhere, Charlton will be at home to West Bromwich Albion. And in cricket, England have drawn the second test with New Zealand, meaning they lose the series. Play was abandoned on the final day because of rain. Kent's Joe Denley and Zach Frawley only scored 5 runs between them. That's it for now, but don't forget you can go to kentonline.co.uk for more news throughout the day.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.